Hey guys, this is the pilot episode of our podcast, and yeah, I guess we're just gonna start off. We'll say a bit about us, and then we're going to just kind of show you guys kind of what our podcast is gonna kind of be like. We've picked topics to kind of get on that are like, they're both cryptids. I'm gonna do the chupacabra, and he's gonna do the Mowgli, Mbembe, something like that.
Yeah, apparently they pronounce it Mowgli.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we're just gonna jump right in. Before we do, I'd like to give a big thanks to Anchor for giving us the chance to do this and get this out there. This is on Spotify and whatnot. So yeah,
I think iTunes and Pocket Casts.
Yeah. So do you want to start us off, Spectral?
Yes, sir, Mr. Tater, sir. Okay. In Congo River Basin mythology, Mokoma Bembe is translated to one who stops the flow of the rivers. It's a water-dwelling entity, sometimes described as a living creature, sometimes as a spirit. During the early 20th century, descriptions of entity increasingly reflected public fascination with dinosaurs, including aspects of particular dinosaur species now known as, among scientists, to be incorrect. And the entity became increasingly described alongside a number of purported living dinosaurs in Africa. Over time, the entity became a point of focus, in particular among adherents of the cryptozoology and young earth resulting in numerous expeditions led by cryptozoologists and funded by young earth cretaceanists and groups with the aim of finding evidence that invalidates scientists' consensus regarding evolution. Paleontologist Donald Prothero remarks that the quest for Mokoma Bembe is part of the effort by creationists to overthrow the theory of evolution and teaching of science by any means possible. Additionally, Prothero observes that the only people looking for Mokoma Bembe are creationists, ministers, not wildlife biologists. So, then we'll probably move. You know what, Cam, you can go next because the history of Mokoma Bembe is very long, and it will probably take up half the podcast.
No, you can continue.
All right. So this is the history. So in 1909 saw the first mention of Brontosaurus, like creature and beasts and men, the autobiography of famed big game hunter Carl Hagenbeck. He claimed to have heard from two independent sources about a creature living in Rhodesia, which was described to them by natives as half elephant, half dragon. Naturalist Joseph Menges had also told Hagenbeck about similar stories. Hagenbeck speculated that it can only be a kind of dinosaur, seemingly akin to the Brontosaurus. Another of Hagenbeck's sources, Hans Schomburg, asserted that while at Lake Benguela, he noted a lack of hippopotamus. His native guides informed him of large hippo killing creature of a large hippo killing creature that lived in Lake Benguela. However, as noted below, Stromberg thought the native testimony was sometimes unreliable. Reports of entities described to be dinosaur-like in Africa caused a minor sensation in the mass media, and newspapers in Europe and North America carried many articles on the subject in 1910 to 1911. Some took the reports at face value, others were more skeptical. According to German adventurer Lieutenant Paul Gratz's account from 1911, the crocodile is found only in very isolated specimens in Lake Benguela, except in the mouths of large rivers. At the north, in the swamp, lives the Nasanga, much feared by the natives, a degenerate saurian, which one might well confuse with the crocodile, where its skin it has no scales, and its toes are armed with claws. I did not succeed in shooting a Nasagna, but on the island of Mimbwala, I came by strips of its skin. Another report comes from German Captain Ludwig Freyer von Stein zu Lausnitz, as described by Willie Lay in Exotic Zoology. Von Stein was ordered to conduct a survey of German colonies in what is now Cameroon in 1913. He heard stories of an enormous reptile called Moko Mbembe, alleged to live in the jungles, and include a description in its official report. According to Lay, von Stein worded his report with utmost caution, knowing it might be seen as unbelievable. Nonetheless, von Stein thought the tales were credible. Trusted native guides had related the tales to him, and the stories were related to him by independent sources, yet featured many of the same details. Though von Stein's report was never formally published, Lay quoted von Stein as writing, "The animal is said to be of a brownish-gray color, with a smooth skin. Its size is approximately that of an elephant, at least that of a hippopotamus. It's said to have long and very flexible neck, and only one tooth, but a very long one. Some say it's a horn. A few spoke about a long, muscular tail, like that of an alligator. Canoes coming near it are said to be doomed. The animal is said to attack the vessels at once and kill the creatures, but without eating the bodies. The creature is said to live in the caves that have been washed out by the river in the clay of its shores, at sharp bends. It is said to climb the shores even at daytime in search of food. Its diet is said to be entirely vegetable. The feature disagrees with a possible explanation as a myth. The preferred plant was shown to me. It is a kind of liana, with large white blossoms, with a milky sap and apple-like fruits. At the Sombo River, I was shown a path said to have been made by this animal. In order to get its food. The path was fresh, and there were plants of the described type nearby, but since there were too many tracks of elephants, hippos, and other large mammals, it was impossible to make out particular spoor with any amount of certainty. He also speculates that some great creature like the Amali could be responsible for finding broken and splintered ivory in elephant graveyard in elephants' graveyards, as well as claiming to have given a chiseled out cave painting of the Amali to Ulysses S. Grant. In August and September of 2018, Lensgreave of Knuthenborg, Adam Christopher Knuth, along with a film crew from Doctor and DNA scientists, traveled to Lake Teli in Congo, Teli in Congo, in search of the Moko Mbembe. They did not find the dinosaur, however, they found a new green algae, which has not been discovered before. In 2001, BBC broadcasted the TV series Congo, a collective interview with a group of Bayaka Pygmies, who identified the Moko Mbembe as a rhinoceros while looking at an illustrated manual of wildlife. Neither species of African rhinoceros is common in the Congo Basin, and the Moko Mbembe may be a mixture of mythology and folk memory from a time when rhinoceros were found in the area. All right, that's my little thing. Cam, did you want to start your thing now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So I'm going to be on the Chupacabra. A blood-sucking creature, usually the size of a small bear, sometimes with a tail always covered in scaly skin and a row of spines down its back. The chupacabra has been a staple in Puerto Rican folklore for decades, since the first goat was found drained of its blood. Well, the explanation for the goat's death could have been anything. There were those who wondered if the chupacabra had at last crawled out of the pages of folklore and onto their island. Silvero Pires was the first man to call the creature a chupacabra, which literally translates to goat sucker. After over 150 farm animals had been killed on farms across Puerto Rico, their bodies intact but entirely drained of blood, and the goat seemed to be the creature's preference. So, yeah, I guess so. Most people identify it as kind of like a dog-like, scaly creature. Like, it looks like a almost hairless dog. People say, and it has sharp, long, sharp teeth. And as soon as the word of the Puerto Rican farm animals broke, farmers in other countries began complaining of their own attacks. Animals from Mexico, Argentina, Chile, Colombia, and the United States were all dying the same gruesome deaths, seemingly with no explanation. A lot of times they'll find. So it's mainly farm animals, I guess they say. And before long, word of the creature reached Benjamin Radford, an American writer and skeptic of the chupacabra tall tales. Over the next 5 years, Radford would make his life's work to either track down the living specimen or debunk the legend of the chupacabra once and for all. His years-long journey took him through forests and farmland across South America and the southwestern United States. Looking for someone who'd actually seen a chupacabra up close and personal. So, yeah, I guess it's like, it's kind of like, as they say, like a dog-like creature that's hairless and It, of course, sucks the blood of farm animals, which I'm sure most of you guys listening, if anybody's listening, has heard of the chupacabra. And I guess, sorry, I couldn't make it too crazy because, well, sorry, didn't have too much. This is kind of like, this is our first episode. We're doing this on our phones, but we're gonna do this every Saturday, and we are going to start this Saturday, and we'll be doing it on our computers though, and we'll have better mics. Like, I'm gonna be using a Blue Yeti and stuff like that. But so I didn't really have much for a story, but that's kind of like a little snippet of what we're gonna do. We're gonna be doing it better usually, and we're gonna have it more prepared. We just kind of wanted to get a little episode out there. And one thing I forgot to do at the beginning is we should probably tell a bit about us. And Spectral, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Just tell a bit about you.
So my name's Spectral. I am privately tutored. I like to play a lot of Rainbow Six Siege on PlayStation with taters. And let's see. Sometimes I like to kind of shoot some hoops. I
Shoots
really
and
like to
hoops.
sleep as well. I really like to
Don't
sleep. It's
we all?
very, it's good sleep. Yes, don't we all? Don't we all?
Oh.
I also like to play Black Ops 4 and Red Dead Redemption, 2.
Nice. And yeah, I guess I'm Taters. I kind of thought we should kind of do a podcast like this, and Spectral's like, oh yeah, dog. And yeah, we might have another person or two usually, but we just, like I said, wanted to get a little episode out there. We just decided because we were just playing games like Rainbow Six Siege. And yeah, so I guess, yeah, I pretty much like to play video games. We had done a podcast like this, not on Anchor though, and it just kind of went badly. Some stuff went down, and we ended up not doing a podcast or talking for a while. So I guess that happened. And yeah, so I guess there's a little bit about us. And also, I did want to add that, yeah, so like I said, next or this Saturday and every Saturday we will have better mic quality. We will have it better quality in general. We'll have it laid out. We'll have it planned. We'll write stuff about our topics, just stuff like that. And yeah, I guess that's kind of what we're gonna do. This is gonna be a bit of a shorter podcast. It won't really be a podcast. It's more just kind of an intro or like summary of what it's kind of gonna be about and be like. So yeah, please leave your feedback. We'd love to see that
Follow
and ideas too. And yeah, that's about it. Is there anything else you want to
ideas
say,
about
Spectral?
episode. Leave a 5-star review because we would love to read those as well. And thank you for listening. Remember to follow and clap because that's a thing that you can do on Anchor, and like do that stuff on our
And
other
I'd
platforms.
want to say one more
Yeah.
thing. I'd like to give second shout out to Anchor for giving us the opportunity to do this because
Oh,
it's
yes.
awesome. So check out their app and stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Spotify, iTunes,
Yeah,
and
them too.
Pocket Cast.
Spotify, that's probably like the most exciting thing that we are on. And yeah, so thanks for tuning in. And sorry, this wasn't a great episode, not the best quality. Just wanted to get it out there, kind of tell you guys about and have you guys listen to what it's going to be kind of like. Yeah, and it'll be better quality and everything next time. And yeah, see you guys later. Have a wonderful night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.